Blog Talk Radio.
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time. I'll explain. Have you seen a Kansas sunset or an Arizona rain? Have you drifted on a bayou down Louisiana way? Have you watched the cold fog drifting over San Francisco Bay? Have you heard a Bob White calling in the Carolina pines? Or heard the bellow of a diesel in the Appalachia mines? Does the call of the Niagara thrill you when you hear her waters roar? You look with awe and wonder at her Massachusetts shore, where men who braved a hard new world first stepped on Plymouth Rock. Do you think of them when you stroll along a New York City dock? Have you seen a snowflake drifting in the Rockies way up high?
You ask me why I love her? Well, give me time, and I'll explain. They help downtrodden people when the storm clouds bring the rain. They bring relief and rescue, no matter what the price. They take your hand, they understand. They bring the love of Jesus Christ. They come along beside you, they understand your grief. For the Lord himself comes with them as their commander-in-chief. They stand with you and beside you in your storm's darkest night. They bring you hope amidst the ruin. Such are these men called knights. And they will stay right with you till the sun brightens the sky, so you can live because they give.
Beneath God's wide, wide sky.
Who are these men who appear in tuxedos once in a while, but most of the time are in street clothes, giving aid and comfort to people in need? Find out this Friday and every Friday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as Deeper Truth presents These Men Called Knights, an in-depth examination of the Knights of Columbus and their role in the church. Donald Hartley, the Catholic Defender, and Bruce Willis, Grand Knight in the St. John Paul Council in Olathe, Kansas, answer your questions about this unique group of Catholic men and their role in the church. That's Friday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, for These Men Called Knights, a Deeper Truth original.
Welcome to Deeper Truth, These Men They Call Knights, Volume 5, with co-host Bruce Willis. Excuse me.
Hi, Don. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yes. And these men they call knights. And with me, I do have my co-host, Bruce Willis. How you doing, Bruce?
Good, good. Bruce Willard here. Glad to be on another show with you, Don. Your shows are always interesting, up to speed, and very germane with all the topics.
And there's so much with the Knights of Columbus. And with us, we also have Mike from New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, fantastic.
All right. Well, these the following is taken from the Knights of Columbus, our principles, four principles and four reasons. And so the following is taken from the Knights of Columbus, our principles, and four principles and four reasons. And a little bit of a history. In 1882, 1899, the Knights of Columbus is founded by Father Michael J. McGivney on February 6, 1882, with a mission of charity. And you know something that is interesting about that time period in 1882 in American history? You know, have you ever heard of Tombstone, Arizona, and, you know, that, you know, Doc Holliday and that whole thing there? Have you ever heard of that, Bruce?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, 1882. So I think that's interesting when you look at American history in the West and then also with the founding of the Knights of Columbus.
Well, if you look at the founding of the Knights of Columbus, you can kind of see where charity comes into play and why it's such an important part during that time, especially in northeastern United States. America was at an immigration crisis, and the Irish had extreme prejudice against them to the point that they neither could not only not work, but they were also prohibited from owning homes. And so it really took a great deal of persuading council and mayoral persuasion to even be able to buy a property. And so the Irish were really relegated to the more dangerous jobs, and where there were no benefits, of course, there was no insurance back then. And so, you know, unemployment was a real scourge, as was a family that had a father that was injured on the job. Basically, they were out their livelihood and lost their house and everything else and were forced to move in with relatives. And so you can kind of see where charity would have a dramatic impact. And, you know, to have a founding and an organization that can provide for its members if something happens was a real godsend, not just for those workers, but it has grown to be a real gift to Americans all across, and really people all across the world, where insurance, you know, is not available to the breadwinner.
Yeah, and as we move forward, 1900 to 1909, the fledgling order grows. The Knights of Columbus grow dramatically at the beginning of the 20th century to serve communities beyond the United States. So it started going off, 1910, 1918. The Knights of Columbus provide service under the motto, "Everybody Welcome, Everything Free," a philosophy upheld in today's charitable programs. So we try to, you know, just in triage on the medical field, we try to help the most people that we can with our assets and our counsels. And we do a lot in that regard, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. More than it's way beyond just our individual parishes, our parish priests' needs, and those are the individuals that are in desperate need in the church, and those that are, you know, visiting the church, and those that are passing through. It's really the Knights' influence has cast, you know, an umbrella across the entire nation, especially if you look at all the lives that have been saved, you know, through our initiatives with the pregnancy centers and providing for those that have needs that cannot provide for their own children.
Well, the Special Olympics is another thing that the Knights of Columbus has got behind, and I think that's important too. Most certainly.
Sure. I mean, yeah. Who hasn't seen the Knights out there giving away Tootsie Rolls, you know, yeah. every year on Columbus yeah. Day, right? I mean, you can't go anywhere without finding them, like, giving away Tootsie Rolls. And look at all
yeah.
look at all the organizations and the special needs organizations that benefit directly from that, because all that money, all of it goes directly to benefit those. Once again, you know, that not just the talk of charity, but the walk of it.
Definitely. And between the 1930 and 1940, the Great Depression leads to a renewed sense of volunteer service, and Knights across the nation step up. The order spearheads anti-defamation work in the U.S. and takes a stand for religious freedom in Mexico. And, you know, in Mexico at that time, you know, in 1917, Russia, the Bolshevik Revolution took place, and that spearheaded, you know, all over, and it hit Mexico. And that's what caused the persecution in Mexico. And that's interesting. I think it's awesome to see that the Knights of Columbus took a stand for religious freedom in Mexico. And so it has and continues to do so, and all over, you know. So what do you think of that, Michael?
Well, I think the Knights have been expanding all over the world. They're probably, no doubt, they're in the Ukraine, or at least close to it, and providing some help, needed assistance there. I was just thinking here while you two were talking, does the Knights of Columbus have any kind of legal services available to people?
Well, as far as insurance goes and that kind of thing, I'm sure that there is some ramifications there, wouldn't you say, Bruce?
Well, I have to answer. I'm not exactly sure, you know, about which legal services the Knights might offer, but the Knights are, to answer the bigger question, the Knights are international and provide international assistance, and have provided a great deal of money for those in need, not just victims of war, but those that have been persecuted in other countries. Of course, through the Middle East, Russia, Ukraine, in the Ukrainian and Syrian crisis, the Knights have raised millions of dollars and are on site. So the Knights are, you know, where you find pain, you find the Knights fulfilling works of mercy.
You know, and that's the gospel. In 1941 through 1950, following the end of World War II, the order, you know, the Knights of Columbus, turns its attention to the growing threats of communism and fascism, which threatens communities and religious freedoms. And so the Great Depression leads to a renewed sense of volunteer service, and Knights across the nation step up. And so I believe that the Knights will continue to step up. You agree with that there, Bruce?
Well, I don't doubt that. We have a history of that, you know, going back well over 100 years. And if you look at what the Knights have done, you know, across all of Central America, South America, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, but just look at Ukraine right now. I mean, in the last year, the membership of the Knights of Columbus have donated over $20 million to Ukraine. So that's a lot of money, you know, to go to provide food and medical supplies and shelter, clothing, religious supplies, basic humanitarian needs that, you know,
refugees,
the victims of war or without. Yeah, I mean, they're literally, you know, had to leave their houses with just the clothes on their backs and limping along with whatever they have, you know, no automobile, no safety of any kind, and just part of their family. So to have, you know, the Knights there, imagine, you know, what, $20 million, you know, how many people that's helped, and just imagine all the different ways that they've been helped with that. So, and that's just one country, right? That's not even the United States. So the Knights, we pray hard, but we also work hard, and we give hard. So, you know, we provide that, the security that others need, and we do that through charity.
I agree. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned about charity. Our Catholic faith teaches us to love thy neighbor as thyself. That's biblical. And members of the Knights of Columbus show love for their neighbors by conducting food drives and donating the food to local soup kitchens and food pantries, by volunteering at special, like I mentioned about the Special Olympics earlier, and by supporting both spiritually and materially mothers who choose life for their babies. And so the Knights recognize that our mission and our faith in God compels us to action. And there is no better way to experience love and compassion than by helping those in need. And so a call we answer every day. And so, and I know, Bruce, with your position here in our local council, you see this very, I mean, you're right in the middle of all that. What do you think of that?
Well, not only do I see it, but, you know, we help organize in many different areas. And, we, you know, we have something special going on every month where, you know, whatever the issue is that might be seasonal, we try to be there to answer those calls in an organized way that truly benefit those that are in need, without receiving credit ourselves, and with, you know, without fanfare. So it might be taking checks. It might be the state deputy, you know, or somebody else taking checks to victims of a tornado in hand delivering resources to those that, you know, have lost everything in a storm, and getting them enough money to find a new place and to get clothing and get food, you know, start over. Or it might be, you know, through pregnancy center and, you know, paying for medical services for somebody that is on the fence about what they should do with the baby that they're not going to be able, you know, to afford either the medical bills on, or even to find out if they are pregnant. So the Knights are there to support a vast, diverse cadre of needs in our community.
Yes, and that is such a great need, and in just every place that you could imagine, every small towns, even large cities, everywhere. You know, these soup kitchens are huge for some that living on the street, and you know, there's a lot of things our society needs to try to do to be able to help those who are in most need. And so there's a lot of things that the Knights can support when our, like our city government and, you know, these things work towards helping those who are most need. The rising inflation and cost of everything, food is huge, and it's essential, especially if you got children. Do you remember it was a few weeks ago that they had that shortage of baby food, you know, the
formula.
Mm-hmm. Feeding babies. Yeah, formula.
Formula.
And how, yeah. That was crazy, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it sure was. That's just another one of the programs. I mean, if you look at our faith in action, it might be March for Life or ASAP, which many have heard of, which is aid and support after pregnancy, sonograms, global wheelchair programs, support of special needs, or just raising funds for somebody in the local community that might not have money, you know, for a college event or the seminary, or, you know, some other needy cause. So we're very diverse. We're like the Swiss Army knife when it comes to when it comes to needs. So. But that's the common thread that all knights have, and that's the desire to do God's work, to be His hands and His feet for others.
That's huge. That's so important. And also unity. None of us is as good as all of us. Members of the Knights of Columbus all know that together we can accomplish far more than any of us could individually. So we stick together. We support one another. That doesn't mean that we all always agree or that there is never a difference of opinion. It does mean that as a Knight of Columbus, you can count on the support and encouragement of your brother knights as you work to make better in your parish and community. So that unity is such a vital aspect of it too as well. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. I know it's very rewarding to see, you know, the faith in action community at different times of the year and different seasons, the community programs, whether it be like Helping Hands, Coats for Kids that don't have, you know, coats, Habitat for Humanity, building, developing, you know, helping those transition from one problem, you know, into integration into, you know, society, prevention of, you know, or helping those that are persecuted for their religion in other countries, Catholic citizenship, you know, U.S. citizenship, disaster preparedness, the free throw championships that we host, soccer and hockey, every type of sports challenge you can think of, you know, socks for the homeless. Most of us, you know, work in or volunteer in food kitchens or soup kitchens. Really, whatever your interest is in helping your community, the Knights are doing it. And so we're an easy group to join, and because of the nature of our membership, you know, it's a great place to find friendship also with those that have, you know, common interests.
Yeah, I'd like to see something about the free throws. That sounds like fun. You know, when I was in school, I hit 144 free throws straight without missing. And, you know, that's just, I just look back at that and I, man, you know, I was on. But now, I barely touch the rim now. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, my goodness. But I think that would be a good project to maybe do for a parish and getting kids involved in that. That sounds like a good one, too. But so then fraternity. Blessed Michael J. McGivney founded the Knights of Columbus in large part to provide assistance to the widows and children left behind when the family breadwinner died, often prematurely. and the Knights top-rated insurance program continues to do this today, as do the good works of individual Knights who gave more than almost 76 million service hours in 2017, illustrating how Catholics serve each other in fraternity and mercy. And so that's huge. And I think that that's kind of what we've been kind of talking about as we kind of move along here, about the fraternity and doing things, especially those who are in most need. And when you have a loved one who passes away, you never know from one day to the next. So you never know. So things happen, and so it's important. And the Knights of Columbus is a great opportunity, or we're there to help those in special needs. And so, and Bruce, I know this is felt all throughout the country, isn't it?
It sure has. But it's not, these are services, and the Knights life insurance is not just solely for those that are struggling. Knights of Columbus members actually have a pre-planning charity plan through the life insurance program, so that your families, so that Knights members' families aren't, you know, relegated, you know, into the streets. They aren't devastated when, you know, when God's plan is to take the breadwinner of the family. So the life insurance agents that the Knights have are really financial advisors. You know, they can, of course, you know, they can sell, you know, products like whole life and term life and annuities and, you know, the usual financial instruments, disability insurance, you name it, short-term, long-term, I think. They might still do that, but the Knights have provided this financial resource to provide this tool to families. So those that are Knight members, when they are in this situation, they don't leave their family devastated with financial ruin. And like I said, that all goes right back to the very plan of Father Michael J. McGivney when he founded the Knights, was to be a financial support system for brothers, and basically Catholics.
And that was important. That's important. And so I think that kind of gives provides some security and also hope. And I think that is such an important aspect. You have hope that if something, you know, you try to prepare for anything that could happen. Murphy's Law. And when I say Murphy's Law, I'm not referring to New Jersey there, Mike. So are you hearing any of this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have our own Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
Yeah, the governor of the state is named Murphy.
Yeah.
No, it's not that Murphy's Law.
Yeah. Now, the other, you know, patriotism, you know, members of the Knights of Columbus, be they American, which we are, but also Canadians. And then we mentioned about Mexicans earlier and Cubans and Filipinos. I have a daughter-in-law that's in the Philippines. You know, we have family there in the Philippines. Poland or Dominicans are patriotic citizens. So, but here in America, you know, We pray for America, because when America is strong, the world is safer. Would you agree with that there, Bruce?
Absolutely. That's been proven over time. The stronger America is, the quieter the rest of the world is. The more peaceful the rest of the world is.
Amen. That's important. The Knights of Columbus International Headquarters is located in New Haven, Connecticut, led by the Supreme Knight, the Chief Executive Officer of the Knights, and the office provides administrative support and leadership for our more than 15,900 local units. That's a lot, isn't it?
That's a lot. And you keep in mind that the each of the parishes or each of the chapters is attached to a parish. And
yeah.
So not all parishes have them, but many do. And it's really important for parishes, for churches to have a strong Knights membership, not just because you have men that are active and are supporting the church and the parish mission and the pastors, the priests, you know, goals, but really to provide for that local community and to be a resource, not just friendship for the men in the parish, but to be a real resource for those in need in that community.
And you know, Bruce, to me, that is a very important selling point to try and get more members, get more men interested in doing and getting involved. I think this would be very beneficial to the Knights of Columbus by going out there and recruiting. Mike, do you agree with that as well?
I totally agree with that. There are a number of councils who the average age is somewhere around 67 or 68, almost 70 years old. And we need some younger folks. And a lot of councils need some younger folks desperately.
Well, they are our future. You know, that's
right.
That's true. That is true. And that's important for us to go out and our parish and other parishes around here, you know, that I see, there's a lot of young men. And most of them that I've talked with have not had, or maybe they might have, you know, been asked to join the Knights of Columbus. But we're working on that. I see that in the last council meeting where they're out there. We got people out there going out there trying to invite people to sign up. Bruce, I'm hoping that we could get a number of people involved. Do you think we can here in the next week or two, getting people interested?
Well, Don, you're certainly doing your part and pulling your weight with your Friday show of These Men They Call Knights. You know, you not only do you lay out what it means to be a knight and the benefits of being a knight, but you really show the rewarding factors of and the successes to our community, our churches, and the individual families that benefit from Knights members. So whatever options the Knights have, the Knights are usually, including myself, we like to volunteer and promote the Knights, try to grow the chapters and grow the individual memberships, because it's just a benefit to men and their families. And we know that the more members we have, the more we can do in the community. So it's directly proportionate to the size of the council.
Yeah, and I love that. The Supreme Council has more than 75 state council organizations to help guide regional activities that are consistent with the principles of the order, which I think, you know, that is interesting as well. And so each state council is divided into districts, groupings of several local councils. And so I know that where we're at, we've got Olathe, they've got two or three, don't they, in Olathe, you know, St. Paul's and St., you know, Prince of Peace and us, you know, St. John Paul II. And I know in Divine Mercy, they have the Knights there. And so we've got some councils that are fairly active in our area, just right around the corner here. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and success breeds success, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And each local councils are the basic unit of the Knights. Most are based in parishes like ours is, though some have their own council half within a community. Each local council works to assist with the needs of its community consistent with the principles of the order. A Knights of Columbus Council can work wonders. In fact, with its many programs, it can help change the community, the town, the city, or neighborhood in which you live. And however, a successful Knights of Columbus program depends on people taking the initial idea, modifying it to suit specific situations and local needs, then implementing the program in the way it works. So it's out there, and we just got to get the wheels rolling, you know, and moving, you know, and that kind of thing, and getting organization and structure. That is so important, and I think that we have that here in our parish. And Bruce, thank you for what your leadership is fostering within our Knights, because it's just so important for us. And you do a great job there, Bruce, and I'm so thankful for your leadership.
Well, thank you. I can't take really credit for that. I've been very blessed with being part of a very strong Knights of Columbus chapters where they've been very active, very experienced leadership that's been dedicated to strong succession planning. Where, you know, the next, you know, the order makes sure that the next leadership is prepared and continues the program. So I've just inherited the success, really, the way I look at it. I just try to continue it and, you know, try to improve it without putting any of my marks on it, but it's very satisfying, very rewarding for me, and so humbling to know that I can work with such wonderful human beings carrying out these acts of mercy. It's just so warming to know that you know these people, that you're part of this group, and to be part of that friendship pack that's involved in such high-level works of charity. That's kind of the way I see it, Don.
Every council is assigned a certified insurance agent who is a Knight and whose job it is to provide our top-level rated products focused on the financial needs of members' families. And so I was hoping to get someone from a field office or field agent to answer some questions here, but he wasn't able to make it tonight. So we'll get that on another night. And so,
yeah, and,
but I
and
think
in,
that
in Kansas, many people know Michael McConnell, from the Knights of Columbus, and Luke Henry from the McMahon Agency out of Topeka. So they actually visit with a lot of people, and a lot of knights, you know, actually use them for you know, trusting in their financial future. I know our family certainly has for quite some time, and it's kind of nice to know that you have a financial advisor, you know, that knows which insurance to help you buy, help you make those decisions, smart decisions for, you know, that for the long haul, and somebody that as an investment firm, you know, as a as financial advisors are dedicated to a plan that meets all the rigors of moral investing, because you don't find that in any other investment agency or company out there.
Yeah. Well, the Supreme Knight, Patrick Kelly, he said this, I quote, "From Asia to the Americas to Europe, we served countless worthy causes with innovation and creative courage." And so that's coming from our Supreme Knight, Patrick Kelly. And so that's kind of something that we've been talking about, whether it's the Ukraine or anywhere. That's, you know, if there's any issues that are taking place, it could be a disaster, an earthquake, or, you know, that situation that hit in Turkey, for example. You know, you might find us somewhere in those areas or around, you know, those areas. So we're always there. So we are men who lead, serve, protect, and defend, whether we are giving out coats for kids, lending a hand in disasters, relief efforts, which I was just referring to, supporting local pregnancy centers, which you've referred to here, by donating ultrasound machines, which that is huge, and we've done that, we've been doing that, or providing top quality financial products, which we were just talking about, or out, find out more about what we do. And so we encourage those within a parish to think about this. We come from many places, backgrounds, and stages in our lives, but we are all of one faith. We are of the Catholic faith. Find out more what we can do, about what we do. And so that's center on all of what we're talking about there, most certainly. And, you know, Bruce, and what we're all about. That's exactly what we're all about. And so there was something that I saw today that was put out by the Knights of Columbus. Did you get that today, Bruce? Did you see that today?
No.
Okay.
What are you referring to?
I'm just trying to see if I can.
I get all of our news releases, Supreme Patrick Kelly's emails. Are you talking about the like 10-year anniversary of the election of Pope Francis as Supreme Pastor?
I think I did see that. I saw that. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got that here too.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any other news releases today, but the Knights are really good about. Go ahead.
That's the only one I've seen.
But you're right, Don. The Knights are very good about communication. About education, sharing the news, being transparent, keeping the members very much apprised of what's going on. not just in the national news, but those news issues and sources that are just below the surface too, such as, you know, what's going on with, for instance, Pope Francis, saintly holidays, general knowledge. So you name it, they're very good about that. And at the state level also, I can tell you that Mike Grodoff, the state president, or in this case, we call them the deputy, the state deputy,
yeah.
Is an excellent communicator, very, very much in touch with all the different chapters across the state, very well tuned in to what's going on nationally, very sensitive and highly responsive to what the chapters need, you know, what the individual grand knights need, you know, and as somebody, you know, because he's somebody that's actually served in all the different administrative roles, not just in the chapters, but up through the, you know, all the state levels too. So the Knights have, like I said, have done a great job in the succession planning and making sure that those that they bring up are highly knowledgeable, articulate doers that know how to get it done. And that's, like I said, that's really makes you feel good to know that when you start a project, it's going to finish and it's going to be very successful, and people are going to benefit in ways that
yes.
are quite measurable, you know, in material in their lives.
Now, for those locally here, if we have anyone listening online here, Ernest Carey Jr., he put out, one of our brother knights is in need of our prayers. Please pray for Frank Courtier. He has been in surgery twice and is now in the ICU. Almighty God, look with mercy and kindness on our brother Frank Courtier, who is in need of your help. Grant Frank your healing grace and send your holy angels to watch over him during his recovery from surgery. And may the life-giving grace of your divine Son relieve him of suffering and bring him to a healthy and full recovery. Embrace him with your constant love and with the power of Christ's healing presence, that your bountiful goodness may be his source of comfort, strength, and joy. Amen. And that's a big part, prayer. Prayer is a big part of the Knights of Columbus in our as a family. And so I think that's important. And thank you, Ernest, for this request. And that's important for all of us. And so I know, Bruce, that's a main thing that we're all about, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, that's your most powerful weapon that you have is prayer, and it trumps money and power every time. If you go to a night's meeting, you know, you really have the comfort of feeling and enjoying prayer amongst your brothers. For instance, we start out every meeting with a prayer. The general meetings once a month, we start out those meetings with the rosary, and you know we have prayers during the meeting. We pray for those brothers in need, and then we end every meeting, every session with a prayer, and often different prayers, and we ask for the intervention and the help of individual specific saints by name. So prayer's a big part of all of our lives, and it's a big part of our community meetings.
That was one of the, when I first went to a Knights of Columbus meeting here, that was one thing that just touched my heart, was that every person was involved in praying the rosary. And that was just from beginning to end. And that just, I mean, that just, that made me feel welcome. You know what I mean there, Bruce? It just really meant a lot to go there and to be a part of that and to be a part of that. And I'm hoping that people will be drawn to it as they get to know what we do. You agree?
I know. I know exactly what you're saying, and I agree wholeheartedly. I remember when I moved to Kansas City and started with the Knights of Columbus and the Prince of Peace. I think our meetings were on Tuesday nights at the time, and I remember that I was working downtown, and I started out the days early on the highway and into the days late on the highway, and on Tuesday nights or whenever our meetings were, I'd, you know, rush to the church. But before each meeting, we would meet and say the rosary, and how calming that was, and how pleasant that was, you know, to have the warmth of to Jesus through Mary in that mm-hmm. community prayer. It really took the hectic pace and the hurried life away to where, you know, you could really concentrate on prayer and praying for others, praying for yourself, in a group of other men that were doing the exact same thing. So that was very, very appealing to me. So I concur with you. To have community prayer like that where everybody's involved has a huge impact on, you know, on the gathering.
Yes, I believe it does. And it's so important. And hopefully we're instilling and inspiring people to pray the rosary in their families as well. That would be the bigger picture if we can achieve that.
Don and Mike, I'm interested. What are your favorite prayers?
Well, I kind of go around the gamut. I love the Our Father. In some places it's called the Lord's Prayer because the Lord taught it to us. I'm just getting I'm getting to the point where I'm getting used to the rosary again, because I spent some time in Protestant churches, and they didn't have that kind of prayer. And speaking of prayer, part of that news release that came out today, Supreme Knight says from Sunday, March 12th to the transferred solemnity of St. Joseph on Monday, March the 20th, 2023, I ask all Knights of Columbus to offer additional prayers for Pope Francis. And I encourage that you ask your families and fellow parishioners to do the same.
Amen. And we do hear a deeper truth. On a daily basis, we pray for Pope Francis and all our clergy. We pray for
all
our
clergy. He needs all the prayers he can get and then some.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely that. And so that is so important. And this kind
Don,
of thing.
Don, what is your favorite prayer?
Well, traditionally, you know, I pray the rosary daily, and the Divine Mercy is important to me as well. I love to pray, like, my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you, and I ask pardon of you for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, nor do not love you. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, and unutterable name of God Be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, under the earth, by all the creatures of God, and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most holy sacrament. Amen. Now, you know, to read the Psalms is like a prayer. And I love to hear, you know, when you can hear some of the monks there at Subiaco and some of the monks, you know, Benedictine monks, where they would sing the Psalms on both sides of, you know, on one side they'd have the odds, and one side they'd have all the evens, and it's just so beautiful to hear the Psalms in that way. And so I'm just saying that's just something that people can experience. What about you, Bruce? What do you like?
Well, I really like St. Michael's prayer because you're really asking a saint for protection against the evil one, specifically against evil and the evil that lives and is constantly, you know, pestering us. But I think you're asking God to actually flick the devil right into the fires of hell. You know, so the graphic nature of the prayer, I think, is very appealing to me. And it gives me confidence. But I think my overall favorite, it probably is the Lord's Prayer, because it has so many of the tenets in there of really what we need. You know, we're asking the Lord, you know, to be able to live here like we should be living in heaven. We're asking Him to help us survive, you know, to give us our daily bread. And, you know, we're asking for direction. And so I think, to me, I think the Lord's Prayer kind of speaks to me in a different way almost every time I say it.
Yeah. Which in the Rosary, you say it a minimum of 5 times, yeah, in that regard. Also the Mass. I would have to say as prayer, the Mass is the most important. To receive the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, divinity, that is so important. And that's so the Catholic prayer life. That's it right there. The Catholic prayer life, there's so much. And so that...
Well, when you have that, Don, you really have everything. You really do.
Yes, you do.
You know, Don,
don't really want for much when you have Catholic prayer life.
Don, because you
have others. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike.
Don, there's a story told about Lyndon Johnson when he was president. He opened up all of his cabinet meetings with prayer. And one cabinet meeting, he asked Bill Moyers to voice the opening prayer. So he bows his head and starts talking softly, and President Johnson says, "I can't hear you." To which Mr. Moyers said, "Mr. President, I wasn't talking to you."
That's funny.
Actually happened.
That is funny.
Mike, do you have that as a soundbite?
I wish I did, but I do have another soundbite. We've got to increase our prayer life because the world is not getting it right. The world can't even get the Trinity right.
Mother of wisdom, Father of light, Spirit of love.
That's a clip from the 1988 Democrat State Convention in Houston, Texas. That was the opening invocation.
Yeah, I remember that.
What do you make of
that?
It was 1988.
Pagan.
That's paganism.
The New Age. And And so our society, as you know, this wow is all about paganism, all this wow stuff. And so that's why the knights have to step up today, as we did in yesterday, you know, in yesterday's. We need to stand up for the family, for traditional family, and for our Catholic faith. We need to stand up, and we need to be in politics, we need to be involved. Because if we're not, guess who is? And that's not good. So we need to be involved and to do our part in promoting those that are doing. In fact, tomorrow night, we've got Kansas State Representative Bill Sutton that's going to be coming on. And we got some good news there, because the House and Senate in the state of Kansas have voted against a bill, or voted for a bill, that would ban males playing in women's sports. And they can override a veto. So, you know, if the governor wants to veto that, we have a means to override that veto. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, that why we need to be involved and why this matters. And so that we'll be talking about that tomorrow night, because Representative Bill Sutton will be speaking about he was there and he was involved in that process. So, and we won. I think it was like 40 or 80 something to 42 or something like that. It was a wide margin. And the Senate also won. So, but guys, we are at that time. Bruce, do you have any last words you'd like to say before we close off?
Yeah, I'll let you close off with the prayer, but I'd like to just as a point of thought, point out that leadership in America has always been guided by Christianity and a Christian point of view. And even Washington, without resistance, suggested that we should only provide and rest on prayer, and that the country would grow that way, but would suffer otherwise. And he recognized that prayer and reliance on God and the immaculate blood of the Lamb would basically purge the land and provide for us. And when we rely on God, we strive and we grow and become a breadbasket. When we don't, there is confusion and consternation, and you can see what's going on even in that legislation that you just mentioned. That's what you get when you rely on fools rather than a strong plan. That's my last thought.
All right. Well, okay. I'll say this in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, sacred is your word. Your kingdom come, your words be heard on earth as they are in heaven. Give us today your sacred word. Forgive our neglect of it in the past, as we forgive those who neglect us. Lead us toward an encounter with you each time we delve into the scriptures. For your presence, your power, and your glory are ever present among us, now and forever. Father, we beg your blessing for the right to life, the unborn, the weak, the sick, and the old, all who are finding themselves being targets of the vicious culture of death. That our Lord Jesus bless and protect all who stand up for the Christian dignity of persons. That God enlighten those who are traveling down death's highway in their own involvement in any way, with either the contemporary death culture, selfism, relativism, or any of the New Age errors of our times. that God envelop a culture with his divine protection and help us both individually and as a nation to true enlightenment, conversion, and repentance of ourselves and our culture. Help us to turn from our national sin of abortion and return to and once again become a Christian nation on the narrow road, that is, the path to becoming a nation and culture under God. Amen. And I believe that your divine Son, Jesus, became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because you have revealed them, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul, since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally. Come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there, and wholly unite myself to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. And remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, and before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. And so with that, we will end in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And thank you, Mike, for your participation. And tomorrow night, I know that you'll be here, and so we got a big one tomorrow night, too, with Representative Bill Sutton. And so also, we've got the Journey with Mary coming right around the corner on Sunday night. And then Monday night, we have the Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson. So I'm going to end with this psalm, and we will see you next time. So God bless you, and pray for America, and pray for our families. As the family goes, there goes the country. So this is why this is important for us.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of May, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and he crowned thy good with brotherhood, of sea, the shining sun.